May is one of, if not the most important day in the Christian year. Sadly, it is forgotten by many congregations. The only notice that many give it are they notice that the pyramids in the front of the church have changed color. It is Pentecost Sunday. It is one of the three most holy days of the Christian year. And we honor God the Father in Christmas through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. We honor Jesus Christ as we celebrate Easter and His work on the cross of Calvary, His redeeming power. We honor the Holy Spirit, God three in one, on Pentecost. We do that because it was on this day, generations ago, that God bore and gave into being and birthed His church, His body on earth. And if it were not for that day, you and I would not be here. If it were not for the empowering Holy Spirit who comes. And so it's important that we take this day and remember and celebrate God Himself. We're talking about the third person of the Trinity. And this is something. In this day and age, I think that the Holy Spirit is a forgotten God in and among Christians. There are some who make a great deal about the Holy Spirit, but treat the Holy Spirit as if it's a thing that's given for our use, some kind of power, some kind of feeling or sense of God's design or wisdom. That's not what the Bible teaches at all, and it's not who God is. The Holy Spirit is a person. God, the Holy Spirit, is a who, not a what. So today, you know, I'm going to do some teaching about that, and we're going to talk about God Himself and how He has shown and revealed Himself to be God three in one. The Holy Spirit, co-eternal, co-equal, and fully God, who ministers in our midst. He is God with us through eternity. Excuse me. I say that because I think we don't give God His due in this way. And it's true. When I was younger, you know, I would pray to the Father. I would pray to the Son. But rarely did I ever think that I should or could or would pray to the Holy Spirit. And yet, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is in you and with you at all times. The Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus made that He would be with us always, even to the end of the age. In John chapter 20, as the disciples are in the upper room at His appearance after the resurrection, He breathes on the disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and they receive God's presence and Spirit within them. And then He told them, "Remain in Jerusalem until My power comes upon you." And so we see in this account of Luke's what happens on that day, and all those nations that are named are pretty amazing, because that's really all the nations where the Jewish diaspora went, and these were all Jews who had come back to the temple in Jerusalem to celebrate the celebration of Pentecost that pre-existed what we celebrate as Christians. They were all there, and they would take word from this moment through all the places. They had come to Jerusalem for this special festival. And that's seems to be why the Holy Spirit waited to empower the disciples until that moment, so that He could preach and speak His words. God could speak and reveal Himself to all the nations of the earth, because they were all assembled there for this special ceremony. Now, all these Jews who were celebrating in the temple would hear Peter's words, and all those who were present in the city would hear, and the word would go out. And as they went back to their places, scattered throughout the Roman Empire and beyond, even out into the eastern parts of the world, they would bring the word of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who came and fulfilled the promise to the peoples. And so even before the disciples would go to those places, there were already small little churches being born throughout the world. Isn't that astonishing? We don't really think about that. That was all God's work, Himself, the Holy Spirit, planning, providing, arranging, maneuvering, all those things. And God Himself, the Holy Spirit, continues to work throughout the world today and throughout our town. First thing we want to say is the Holy Spirit is personal. It's personal for God to be with you. God Himself with you. The scriptures testify about God's work as the third person of the Trinity. At the very beginning in creation, God says His power, His majesty, His Spirit moved across the waters of creation. The Holy Spirit was present there, bringing life, bringing land from nothing, creating from nothingness all that exists. The Father designed, the Word spoke, and the Spirit created and sustained all. Three in one. Co-eternal, co-equal in majesty, power, and glory. I say this because I think we forget it. It's easy to forget who we're talking about and the power and the majesty and the mystery of God. The Holy Spirit creates and sustains, created you. You were knit together in your mother's womb, and even before that, the Holy Spirit knew you. And the Holy Spirit sustains not only you in your individual life, but every single physical law that scientists study in the universe is sustained by the will of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God present in all and throughout all of creation. Pretty amazing, isn't it? The majesty and power of God's Spirit. And we talk about, you know, I don't know, when I use it, the problem I think we have sometimes is we think we use that word Spirit. Is that where the problem is, do you think? I'm just thinking out loud here for a minute. I wonder about that, because like in high school we had like Spirit Week, you know, and we use that word Spirit, and then in night, you know, we had the Spirit of 76, and then we had, you know, all these different, you know, we use that word Spirit, and it just kind of means, I don't know, just the sentiment or the joy or the feeling, you know, of whatever it is we're talking about. And so we use that English word Spirit, and then we use the translation of the Hebrew and the Greek, and we use that same word Spirit, and somehow we kind of give that word in Scripture the same flavor of kind of how we talk about things here on earth. But that's not at all what the Scriptures express and what God reveals about Himself in this way. God with you. God with us. God present in us. Jesus says that you know, at our salvation, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, into your very being, and possesses you as His own. You were His and not your own. The Holy Spirit not only creates, sustains us, sustains all creation. The Holy Spirit says empowers us. That the strength to minister, to speak the words of faith are His and His alone. Anything good that happens in our life comes because God's Spirit is within you. Only God is good, and only He can bring goodness in this world, and He wants to do it through you and I. That's why this day is so important to all of us. Scriptures tell us, and well, you know, matter of fact, I think our founder of Methodism, John Wesley, really did, of all the things that he did a wonderful job at talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in Christians. That's what really Methodism is all about. Is about the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit in Christians' lives and how we get from where we were to who God wants us to be before we meet Him. Because that's the goal of our life together. Are you guys all everybody awake? I'm down pretty close, so you usually get up, wake up. You guys understand that, right? I mean, this is an important moment. John Wesley talked about the Holy Spirit in his work in this way. He talks about a prevenient grace. That's a kind of Greek way to say going before. Before going is veni and pre, go before. And so before you were ever even thought about being a Christian, God was already getting the way ready for you. Do you hear that? That God was arranging your life in such a way that you might meet the right people, hear the right words, be present in the right company, preparing the way that your faith is entirely due to God's activity and action in your life. That God goes before you to give you the choice to follow him. If it weren't for his actions, God goes first. He always acts in our life. And it is the Holy Spirit who's acting. The Holy Spirit who's moving to prepare the way for you to know how much God loves you. How much and how far he is willing to go for your sake. Only God has been able to do that in our life. The prevenient grace of God. But John also goes further than it is the Holy Spirit that brings us to the moment of decision in our life where we receive the justifying grace of salvation. Justifying grace where we are made right with our Creator again. Where we have lived broken lives, broken by sin, broken by our slavery to sin, up until that moment when we make the decision to be an active follower, to allow God to be the Lord of our lives. It is in that moment that God's Spirit works within us to make all right between us and Him. And so that it's not of ourselves, it's not we that do it, that we might boast, but God who did it for us on the cross of Calvary. You guys still awake? I know it seems a little lectury, and I keep my voice pretty high today, but I want you to hang in there. Because I don't want you to walk away not understanding how important it is for you to be in relationship to the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit is sanctifying. That's the third part of John Wesley when he talks about sanctifying grace. The grace that makes us more like Jesus every day. Day by day. God arranges in your life events, circumstances, obstacles, challenges, so that you at the end of your life will be more like Jesus than at the beginning of your life. So that you at the end of your day will be more like Jesus than you were when you woke up. The Holy Spirit is working in you and around you and through you. That's why Paul can make the assurance in Romans chapter 8, for in all things, we know in all things that God works together for good with those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That in every calamity, every instance, every victory, God is at work to make you more like him. More loving, more kind. That's why when we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work, the Holy Spirit seeding in you, working in you, cultivating you as his field, that he will bring about this fruit out of your life. Peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all these things bubbling up from within. God's Holy Spirit, he himself working within you, transforming you by his power. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit reveals God to us. We would never know God without him revealing himself. The Holy Spirit makes us aware of God. The Holy Spirit teaches us about himself. That's why the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the teacher. Jesus says, I will send the teacher, the comforter, the counselor to you. And the Holy Spirit unifies the body. Those who will not be unified by God himself into his kingdom will be cast out. Jesus says in Revelation, he'll spew you out of his mouth if you will not surrender and be part of his will. He unifies his work together. But there's more. There's this personal thing that the Holy Spirit is doing in me and in you. And it's precious. It's so precious. You know, We do the best we can with our faith, don't we, church? I mean, I hope you do. And sometimes we do a little less than the best we can, don't we? Yes or no? Everybody say yes? We do a little less than the best most of the time. There's so much of Christian life we really don't know how to live. Some people admit that and they become humble by that. Other people are unwilling to admit that they don't know and that they aren't in charge, and so they get more abrasive and weird. You know, I don't know what to tell you. You've met people like that, haven't you? Yeah. But the Bible tells us that as God is with us, there's a few things that we should be aware of. And boy, if we tried to say everything that the Bible says, we'd be here till next Sunday or more. The Bible says that even in our weakness, God himself intercedes for us. Isn't that interesting? that God himself prays for us. The Holy Spirit prays to himself, talks to God, the Father and the Son. It's hard to imagine, three in one, co-eternal, in power, one substance. It's one of the big mysteries of the church, isn't it? Yes? Everybody say yes? Yeah, it's wild. And sometimes it's so daunting that we back away from it. But here is the scripture telling us that, as Paul said in Romans, all things are working together for good, whether we see it, whether we believe it or not. But also that in our weakness, when we don't even know what to ask of God for ourselves, for others, that the Holy Spirit is praying, using our prayers. That what comes out of my mouth isn't as important as who is beside me as I pray and what he wants. I don't know how to explain this. I would say that, how many of you have done something in your life that was stupid and it had good results? Anybody have that problem? You know, like these things that happen. How many of you have asked for the wrong thing in your prayer life? Anybody ever done that? You know. And sometimes we know when we're doing it. Other times we realize, you know, what was I thinking? There's an expression. I think I mentioned before this article in Christianity Today a long time back, probably 20 years or more. But it was something that really struck me back at the time. That was because there's this thing that happens with us preachers. We preach a message. We read the scripture. We feel the inspiration of God. We try to listen to his Holy Spirit. We try to get our sin out of the way, try to talk about God in intelligent ways, in ways that are redeeming and redemptive and convincing. And so we craft these messages, and I don't know how many times it would begin to happen. You know, I'd have someone come up to me after worship and say, "Pastor, you know, that sermon you preached 2 weeks ago really made a difference in my life because you said this, and you said this, and you said this. And man, what a difference it made. I went home and this changed, and I really gave this part to the Lord." And I just nod and say, "Well, you know, God's good, and we trust him, and, you know, the Bible's trustworthy, and we just got to keep reading his word." I say things like that because, I mean, what do you say? And then I go home, and I look up my notes from 3 weeks ago, and I didn't preach any of that stuff that he said I preached. None of it's in there. I was preaching on an entirely different topic also whatsoever, but I know they were there at that day, and they were hearing me, and we were, you know, we were there together. But I don't even know where he got that. And not only that, I haven't preached on that particular topic for probably 18 months or more. You know, that's what Christianity Today wrote that article. They said, they titled the article, "The Best Sermon I Never Preached." You know? Because the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. And the act of coming to worship isn't to get a good message or to get something to take with you. The act of worship is all of us coming together to offer ourselves before God and offer our best before him and offer all that we are before his throne and say, "We are yours, Lord. Take us. Make of us what you will." And when we do that, the Holy Spirit comes and works and moves within us and begins to do that very thing, revealing his heart to us, teaching us what we should be and do. And if we're surrendered to the Holy Spirit, if we're surrendered to God, God begins to unify us together. He begins to intercede for us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit seals us for God. That's a word that we don't really understand, I think, in our current context. You guys got a minute? We've got a few minutes. And I only have about 4 or 5 minutes worth of content together. Richie, say amen.
Amen.
All right. I want to stretch it out just a little bit here and say, so talk about this seal. When I think about sealing something, I think about like a caulking gun with silicone, you know, like I think about, you know, Julie's got that camper and I got to go out there every once in a while, you know, take care of it. I think about sealing all sorts of different ways. In the old times, in the Old Testament, sealing was a very specific thing that happened. When a governor would write a law or something, or he wanted to send a message or an order, or the emperor would send orders to his troops, you know, he would write, you know, that out on a parchment or something, and then they would fold that over. And you've seen it in movies, haven't you? Where they drip the wax on there, and then the emperor takes his sealing ring. It's a big ring with a big disc, you know. It's a big flat ring. It's hard to miss on their hand. And he would press that down
crown and the wax. And that meant that that was official. It was done. It was completed. And it was to be executed. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is in the process of sealing you and I for himself. That you are a work that he is completing until it is finished. And you will be presented by the Holy Spirit to the Father by the blood of Jesus Christ in glory. And that work he is doing in you, he wants to finish it. He wants to complete the work that he has begun in you with your salvation. And so he's working on it, and he wants to seal us for himself. To put his mark on us indelibly so that we will never, nothing will ever take us away from him. That we are a completed work in his sight. And just like Jesus said on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. When we reach the heavenly gates and we stand before the Father, we will say to him, it is finished. And he will look at us and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. But you will never reach that moment unless you trust in the Holy Spirit. If you try to get there on your own power, it will never happen. You know how many times you've tried. I know how many times I've tried. We know how many times we failed. Unless you and I surrender to God's active presence in our life, day by day, to the Holy Spirit's power and guidance, we will not have what he wants us to have. We will not have the abundant life that he wants for us. The Holy Spirit gives us, finally, assurance that we are his and he is ours. There are many people who sit in pews this Sunday morning, no doubt, that wonder, that are trying to pile up a list of good deeds to prove to God that they're worthy, to try to be good enough to achieve salvation and glory. But it will never happen. The Bible says that it is solely by the work of grace, solely by faith in Jesus Christ and his work on our behalf. Not what we have done, but what God has done for us. And once we have accepted that reality, that we are not worthy, nor will we ever be, but Jesus Christ is worthy and his sacrifice has been accepted, and payment has been made, and our soul has been ransomed by God, and we belong to him now, the Holy Spirit comes and gives you assurance. He will give you that assurance that you are his, and nothing will take you out of his hand. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you, to assure you that you have nothing to worry about with him, that he loves you. The Holy Spirit convicts us in our lives of sin, for sure. Just like when we had children, or those of us who have children, and we told the kid not to do the thing they did, and then they did it, and we look at them and we say, I told you that wouldn't be good, right? Our parents, everybody have that experience in their life? Just me? I'm the only one that warned my kids about doing something they went and did it anyway? But like good parents and our good Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit does not come to convict us. He does come to convict us in a sense of saying, hey, what I said is true, isn't it? And the way you're living isn't helpful, is it? But the Bible tells us there is not condemnation in his voice, but love and grace. As he helps us pick up our lives once again, he begins to minister to us his power to live. As we begin to rely on him in temptation rather than our own will, as we begin to seek out his presence, Jesus said he will never leave us, never forsake us. The Holy Spirit is present, and he's built his church for your sake and for the sake of all the earth. The world will know that God loves them, and he died to prove it. So I want to ask, when's the last time you talked to the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you talk with him about his plans for your life, your sanctification, his desire to make you holy and perfect before the Father? I would urge you this Pentecost to spend time with the Holy Spirit. Speak to him. He's in you. He's with you. And he's sustaining you even now. And without him, you would die. And you would perish from the earth. But he loves you. And so talk to him. I urge you this day, talk to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is talking to you and praying for you. Talk to him.
I don't know what you might say, but begin that conversation. Bible says even if you don't know what to say, he does. So maybe it's not just what you say, but listening to the Holy Spirit. Take some time with him. We rejoice in our Creator, God the Father. We rejoice in our Redeemer, Christ the Son. The sanctifying God of creation, the Holy Spirit, deserves his due. Honor and worship the Holy Spirit as you honor and worship the Father and the Son, because they are one. God said it first. Behold, O Israel, your God is, what does he say? One. Let's bow our heads. Holy Spirit, we come as your children. We've neglected you, we've forgotten you, we use you as a catchphrase for our faith when you are a person of the Trinity, the God of all creation. And we have not feared you as we should, have not reverenced you as we should. Lord, forgive us when we've tried to use your presence for our purposes. And thank you for resisting us in our corrupt and broken wills. This day we bow before you. And we ask once again, we pray, your will be done in us. Cleanse us, sanctify us, and make us holy. In your name we pray, and all God's people say, amen.